in the studio with us right now from our very favorite friends over in Lexington. I'm talking about the good folks over at Oak Leaf Village. We want to say hello to Miss Katie.
Good morning. Welcome, Katie.
Good morning. How is everybody's morning?
Oh, why do I have you up? Oh, never mind. There you
just
are.
So Matt, just turn
off. Hi.
Good morning. Turn on.
Yes. Casey with the button magic over here.
Maybe you really shouldn't get
she
up to go
outside.
Look at.
She forgot how to do the control.
Yeah. Good stuff. Anyway.
Face plant. Sorry, face plant. Katie. Welcome.
Sorry, good morning.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us from Oak Leaf. It's time for our positive points on aging. This is something we do every Tuesday about 8:35 until 9 o'clock. And we talk about various topics that are important to caregivers, mm-hmm. care receivers, talk all about things that are going to impact so much of our population and is already impacting so much of our population. And this week, you've got us managing family dynamics. What does that mean?
How fun does that sound?
It sounds interesting.
So basically, with family dynamics that we all have, one thing that is what we're noticing is happening, of course, our people are living longer.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are they living longer, that means that their families are being caregivers longer.
Right.
And they're kind of starting out at an earlier age. I was reading one thing. The average person, it seems to be about 80 years old, is when the families are really noticing that something's going on with mom. She really needs the extra help. Or dad, they need the extra help. And then it's usually the family members are in their 50s. Somewhere.
Ish.
Then they're trying to take care of their loved ones. So family dynamics is now who is doing the caregiving? Who is going to be helping them through this journey and what's going on? And of course, there's always lots of family dynamics and, you know, in facilities we see it. Even when I was doing hospice in the previous past, that was also, you know, very much an issue. Sometimes it could be an issue because you got so many different people that have different opinions about how that they should be taking care of their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example for me was in doing hospice. It became very apparent, especially these sick folks and these families trying to take care of. There was always one that wanted to be more of a financial person,
mm-hmm.
one that wanted to do the actual hands-on care,
mm-hmm.
one that wanted to be the runner.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was running to the store, running to go get a new bed, running to go.
Right.
So he had a runner. Another thing I noticed that there was one that was the communicator that I'll text everybody. I'll mm-hmm. I'll call them today and I'll let the church know or da, da, da. So you always had one person that wanted to communicate. And then you had the one that was frantic, that was always in a panic. It didn't matter what it was.
Sure.
And then you would have one that was just, don't want to know anything, just give me the phone call when something happens.
Right.
Dun, yeah. dun, dun. You know, the terrible thing. So not everybody has five or six folks in their family, so some of this gets doubled up, tripled up, quadrupled up. Like, you know, it's me and my brother that would be taking care of our parents if anything, you know, were to go awry. So for us, you know, I know that I'm more the caregiver. I've been in the medical field, so I feel like I can understand some of the lingo a little bit better.
Sure.
And, you know, if I needed him to lift something or carry something or go get something or build something, he could do it.
Right.
So we're going to have to work on who's doing what. And then we got to look at the financial part. Who's financially stable to help out? Who's going to be able to figure out the finances of what our parents have, what our financial goals are, to see who's going to have to pay out or help out.
So you know, one of the things that you and Karen talk so much about is having a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you
way
talk
before
so,
you need
that's
it.
What I'm, thank you, Casey. That's what I was going to say. Is in fact, last week, that was one of the things that Karen mentioned was we want to be proactive and not reactive.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to get to a situation where we're under so much duress because something bad has just happened.
Right.
And we're already mentally and emotionally so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to get to that point. We would like to have a plan in place so that if something happens, when it happens, we already prepared for that. And we know, okay, this happened. You said you were going to handle this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to handle that. That way there's no ego involved. That way everybody stays in each person's lane, in your own lane.
Right.
Things like that. I think it's so essential to have a plan in place. Of course, we could talk about that when it comes to all things in life.
Oh, yeah.
But certainly when it comes to caregiving and when it comes to how are we going to handle this with mom or dad mm-hmm. when this happens. And you might not know specifically what this is going to be, but something's ultimately going to happen.
Correct.
Absolutely. More often than not.
Oh, yeah. And it's just like when we were raising our children, we had to think what daycare we were going to take them, what school district we were going to be looking into, if we were to get sick at work or if the child were to get sick and you had to leave work, which one is going to get off work to go to. So it's the same scenario yet again. Here we are looking at it, but yet we're looking for it for our adult elders is a lot of times what the issue is.
Right.
Family meetings are hard sometimes, but like you said, making a plan, but having a family meeting and sitting down and discussing everything that everybody has a good niche for, then let's go ahead and make sure that they get that person is, you know, my brother builds. He welds. So
sure.
If I needed something built or weld, so I can call him and say,
right.
Okay, we need this. We need new handrails put on the back step so mom can get in the house better.
Sure.
Right.
Or if it is, you know, putting something together that's going to be, you know, puzzle pieces and stuff like that, that would be my brother. He's going to have to do that for me.
Sure.
And those family dynamics are tough because they come with so many years of resentment and baggage and
yep.
times that things did not work the way you wanted them to and mm-hmm. people that didn't meet commitments that they had made and all these kinds of things that we think maybe we've gotten over them.
Right.
But when it comes down to the moment, and Kev mentioned like being really stressed when something
yes.
terrible happens, those emotions can flare up. And then if we're not well prepared,
right.
we don't have a plan in place.
Yeah.
Then you can see some real fireworks.
Yeah, and you have some siblings that have to have that affirmation that they're doing it the right way. So
right.
it may not be that they really truly need the help. They just needed to hear the siblings say, oh my gosh, thank you so much for helping mom today.
Right.
You know, you did a really great job or something. Some of those just needs their affirmation. I have three children. All three of them are completely different. My oldest is great about, she needs affirmation.
Right.
She does a great job, and she really does do a great job at what she does.
Sure.
But she's also the kind that has to hear it,
right.
which
right.
is fine.
Sure.
You know,
you got to know your audience.
You got to know who, yeah, exactly. And it's the same thing with your siblings. You know, me and my brother don't always get along. We're not the closest of people. But if he's done something that helped me, then great. I need to make sure I make a point to say that. Now, if he does something that's completely opposite,
right.
then we're having to have that family meeting again where we're sitting down and having that conversation to say, look, you got to start doing this. You have to start doing that. These are things, lay down the law is what people call it, but you really need to make sure you're agreeing. You can't have just one person always Charles in charge. That
well,
won't work.
And having that dialogue early enough should establish a vocabulary you can use to talk about these things.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about the tasks and you're talking about the work.
Right.
You're not necessarily talking about each other
right.
and blaming and what they have and have not done. It can be more about, look, this is what has to get done right now. Who's best positioned to handle this particular thing? Right.
Right. And then you also have to think about, if your parents has already put it in place with that they want this one to be the power of attorney,
mm-hmm.
well, then you got to go, okay, well, I got to step back a little bit, let this person with the power of attorney be able to make the ultimate decisions, but you still get to put your input in it.
Right.
You know, I had a family that got really upset because their mom was eating all this junk food and the sister was just livid. Why in the world would you feed her such horrible things? Are you trying to give her a heart attack? And was
yeah.
really upset and mad about it. But at the end of the day, the doctor said, if you can get anything in her right now, nutrition is nutrition. It doesn't matter if it's a hamburger and
calories
fries.
Are calories.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she had to say, well, you know, this is what was best for her. I felt like at the time, what would you suggest? You know, you're trying
yeah.
to do that sweet and innocent, you know, you're trying to not be an ugly comeback, but come back with some, well, what would you have done differently?
Right.
What would you have bought from the store?
Right.
Or would you like to go ahead and get next week's meals?
Right.
Right.
Don't say it the way I would want to say it at times to my
yeah.
brother, but you know, you would say it in a manner where you're trying to get them to understand it.
Or you could fall back on the national day calendar. Today is National Cheesy Poof Day.
Yes.
So of course I gave mom cheesy poofs.
Absolutely.
It's National Cheesy Poof Day.
That's right.
If mom likes her Cheetos, you give mom her Cheetos.
That's
absolutely
right.
You know,
it's tough.
It is a tough situation. And one thing I would tell you, if you know you're going into a meeting like this with your siblings, is we all agree right before we come into this meeting, we check our egos at the door.
Yep.
With Kev. In the Park Fireside Studio, it's Kevin Cohen.
All right, welcome back in on Positive Points on Aging here at The Point. We've got Miss Katie with us from over at Oakleaf Village in Lexington, and something we do each and every Tuesday morning, Casey and Kev, we talk with Katie and we talk with Karen and we discuss our older adults, our seniors, and what leads to the best care for them. And we've been focusing on managing family dynamics. And we ended that last segment when I said that everybody needs to check their ego at the door, if possible.
Right.
Again, if you can remember the ultimate goal is no matter what you and your siblings clash on, if you ultimately remember that we do love our mom or we do love our dad, we both love this person,
right,
then maybe you are able to put aside whatever differences you have and say, okay, let's figure out, here are your strengths, here are my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Much like you were talking about, Katie, when you said your brother's really good with the assembly side, mm-hmm, the building side,
right,
of things. That might be a weakness for you. That's a strength for him.
Absolutely.
You're good, obviously, because of what you do for a living on the medical side and on the hospice, mm-hmm, side you worked, and now you work with care every day.
Right.
So there are things on a day-to-day basis that you'd be strengthful or would have good strength at, and that he would consider not his strength.
Right.
But isn't one of these big challenges, Katie, the availability of your siblings, too?
Absolutely.
Because in some case, of course, ideally, the people who are best suited for this would be the ones,
right,
that did it. But, you know, realistically, if you can't, and you mentioned this about taking care of your kids, like, mm-hmm, if you cannot leave work to get your kid from school,
right,
your spouse has to do that or somebody else has to do that. Can you talk a little bit about the availability and whether or not, you know, what becomes the priority for when you're choosing how things are going to go?
Right. That's that sitting down with that meeting and having a conversation to see what you can do. So you're both having that conversation, or the three of y'all, however many siblings you have.
Right.
You have some that are going to be out of state.
Right.
You know, that we see that a lot, especially at, you know, assisted livings. We have families that are all over the state or,
right,
either in out of state. Even taking the time to make those phone calls or Skyping or Zoom calls or whatever, FaceTime with the loved one, they're at least spending some quality time, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes.
Right.
That 5 or 10 minutes may be enough where that caregiver that's having to stay there, this, you know, the daughter or whoever, can go in, load a load of laundry, knowing that mom's got some attention going on, she's focused on something else for a minute.
Right.
Go a load of laundry, go fix your own plate of food, go take a time for yourself. So it gives them that little bit of respite.
Right.
And that's another thing that, you know, you just got to make sure everybody's on the same page with. But having that family meeting, sitting down, talking, discussing what you can do, what days can you take off, looking at your vacations. It may not be vacations that you go out of state anymore or out of town anymore. It may be those you stay at home so you can be nearby, but you're still taking time for yourself. I'm not saying don't take those vacations.
Sure. Right.
It may just be your vacations look a little different.
Right.
Availability to see when the person can pick up groceries. If you've picked up groceries for the past 3 months and you're financially looking at, okay, I can do 3 months, maybe the next 3 months you can do it. And then maybe the next 3 months after that, Brother Joe can do it.
Right.
You just go through the line and see who can do what at what time. My family dynamic would be financial. We'd have to figure out who's financially doing what. How,
right,
are we doing this? Who's going to get power of attorney? Who needs to be power of attorney? So just because I'm medically inclined doesn't mean that, you know, he shouldn't be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's the oldest one. So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, he's the older one, he'll have to take care of it. Right. Not necessarily.
No, again,
it just depends.
You got to know your strengths and weaknesses, mm-hmm, and things like that. And
yeah,
again, this is where I think the egos can come in. This is where just clash of something
it's
that
tough.
You haven't thought of as a sibling in 20 years. Your sister down the road is going to bring up, well,
right,
you know,
do you remember what you said back then?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, what are you talking about?
Right.
And she's never forgotten or let it go.
Right.
So that's a tough spot. The other thing that's tough is I've had this situation with friends of ours where you've got someone who is at an assisted living or someone that's dealing with a situation, and every day you and your husband go and check on him, and you love on dad and this and that. And all of a sudden, the relative who is your sister, who happens to live 4 states away, decides, well, I'm coming in to visit. And while I'm there, I'm going to take over. Mm-hmm. And you don't, the one, you're like, no, you're not. I,
right,
do this every day.
Right.
I know exactly what he likes. I know exactly what this. And she swoops right in. And this happened with mm-hmm, dear friends of ours. And it became a clash. And so the family dynamic is, I mean, knowing your roles, defining roles,
right,
I think is essential.
It is, very much so. And listening to each other is hard at times. There are times I want to choke my brother out. So I understand it is very difficult to have some conversations with them. But at the same time, it's not about me anymore.
I'm only laughing because I think everybody, when you say that, anybody that has a brother is like heard.
Yeah, yeah. They know.
Oh, she sees me. She's, I feel that
yeah,
way.
That's how, yeah. And, you know, I've had some, my dad had some challenges last year. My mom went through some challenges already this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm the first one to say, well, I'll take him to the hospital because right. I'm listening. So right. I know what my role is. But if it came down to it and they needed longer care, if they needed things at home longer, yeah, we will have to have a sit down to come to Jesus meeting. We was going to have a serious talk. And yes, all my baggage that I get frustrated with him about or don't want to talk to him about, those just got to go out the window.
How involved are the parents in these conversations? I mean, does it depend on the level of care they're going to require? I mean, can the siblings make these plans behind their parents' backs? Like, what do the dynamics look like as far as that's concerned?
If you talk early enough, then hopefully your parents can be involved. That's the biggest thing. And like I said, we try to pre-plan everything. If you can get them in the conversations, absolutely. My mom and dad right now in their 70s, they can have this kind of conversation.
Right.
So if we sat down at the round table in the kitchen and said, all right, mom and daddy, it's Jamie and I, we got to take care of y'all. What things do you want? What things do you don't want?
Right.
I tell you now, my daddy won't go back to the hospital for the thing I took him to for last year.
Right.
Yep, we got better. Yep, we got him fixed. But we're not doing that again.
Right.
So we already know his wishes of he does not want that again.
Right.
So going through the things that they want, what they don't want, you know, thankfully, but at the same time, we haven't had the conversation. What funeral home?
Sure.
You know, is there music that you want to play? Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be buried? All those kind of even conversations, they suck. I don't want to have those conversations.
But they need to be had.
They have to be had at some point in time. But if we at least get the care part taken care of and all agree, great, because there may be a long-term care policy that mom and dad have that you didn't know about that may can play a part in for some in-home caregiving, or that
right.
long-term care policy can help pay for your assisted living.
Absolutely.
Would you recommend some kind of documentation in terms of like, hey, I'm taking some notes on this, I'm going to go ahead and print it, I want everybody to have a copy of it, or I'm going to put it in a share drive that we can all look at so that we remember we had this conversation on these particular days?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And having an agenda before the thing, so that way you know exactly what key points you want to talk about, what things that you want to decide it works best.
Right.
Those are the things that you should have in the agenda. And at the end of the thing, you could either type it back up, send it back out, like you said, email, you know, whatever, but document it, writing it down. I'm going to forget half the conversation that we had too, so let's write it down together. So
right.
it's not just always on one person to keep up with everything. So
yeah.
everybody's on the same page.
And do you recommend revisiting this conversation?
Oh, absolutely.
Over time? Yeah.
Yeah. At least every 3 to 6 months would
okay.
even be better. And the reason you say 3 months, a lot can happen just in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure.
You know, so.
Or the plan that you put in place doesn't work the way you
failing.
Thought it would. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
definitely.
Stuff. Well, thank you, Miss Katie. What
thank
can
you.
People do if they want to get more information from you guys?
They can call us at 803-808-3477 or online at oakleafvillagelexington.com.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming
thank
in.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Casey, enjoy your writing day today.
Yay!
Go enjoy a beautiful afternoon in the Midlands. We'll be back this afternoon at 4 o'clock with the internet, we hope. And that'll be for the afternoon drive. Have a great day.
Mornings with Cam.